Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word this evening is the lesson I just read for you a moment ago, St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning at the 32nd verse. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith on this Maundy Thursday, we pray, and lead us not into temptation. That is a fitting and appropriate prayer for this evening, what Jesus our Lord was talking about in the gospel lesson. Lead us not into temptation. You may remember the words from our little catechism. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature would not deceive us and mislead us into false belief and despair and other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may finally overcome them and win the victory. And so Jesus took along Peter and James and John with him, and he began to be struck with terror and to be distressed. And he said to them, "Very sorrowful is my soul, even to death. Remain here and keep watch." And going ahead a little bit, he fell upon the ground, and he prayed that if it is possible, the hour would pass by from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, but not what I wish, but what you wish." The words of Mark chapter 14 are startling, the choice of words there. I think I must have this week read them for the first time, looking at the original language that goes like this. It says, Jesus began to be struck with terror and to be distressed. And he said, "Very sorrowful is my soul, even to the point of death." Do you think he was kidding? If you look at our Gethsemane window for tonight, and you see our Lord Jesus praying there, and you look at his face, what do you see? What I see in Jesus' face there in our window is that he might be worried. He might be resigned. He probably is trusting and resting in his heavenly Father. But it does not look like Jesus began to be struck with terror and to be distressed and to say, "Very sorrowful is my soul, even to death." And it's a beautiful window, but maybe the reason why we don't see it on the Lord's face is because the artist who did it never went through what our Lord Jesus did, never experienced it. Abandonment by your friends, betrayal by Judas, denial by Peter, the shame of being arrested, the miscarriage of justice, the relentless hate of his enemies, getting beaten up in jail, the crowd screaming for his death, a terrible death on the cross, and then, worst of all, being rejected and cast out by his heavenly Father, basically a soul in hell, punished for your sin, punished for mine. Isaiah chapter 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and yet we esteemed him to be stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Now all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one of us to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. What the prophet Isaiah described there long years before the Lord Jesus came on the scene was the cup that our Lord Jesus had to drink, what he talked about to his heavenly Father. And what was the cup he had to drink? Well, it was to be scorned, it was to suffer, it was to die. But far more than that, it was to take the bullet for you and to take the bullet for me and to take the bullet for all people, to take the anger of our heavenly Father upon our sin. What comes out of our mouths, our actions, and above all, the thoughts and meditations of our hearts. That was the cup Jesus had to drink. And when he drank it, the result was what? On the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He drank the cup, but somebody had to drink it. Someone had to drink it. You can't ignore sin. You can't paint over sin. You can't sweep it under the rug. You can't allow it just to pass. That is not justice. Every activist that we see filling the streets these days knows that. That's not justice. Just let things go. Just forget about it. And our Lord Jesus could have said, let somebody else drink it, Father. Let somebody else drink it. But if he didn't drink the cup, who would drink it? Who would drink it? Who's left? Who is left is you and me, being punished for our own sins, being separated from God forever and forever, having to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, there's the choice. That's what it all comes down to in Holy Week. Either it's him or it's you. Either it's him or it's you. Either he drinks the cup of your sin or you do. Either he goes to hell or you do. Either he takes it or you do. Somebody has to drink the cup. Somebody's got to do it. And you know that he did. You know that he did every time you come forward to the communion rail and you drink a different cup. The cup of his shed blood, and you eat his body together with the bread. And when you take the body and blood of Christ, you remember and you are reminded of the fact that the Lord drank the cup of your sin, and it is gone, and it's not on you anymore. Otherwise, all you would have left is to be struck with terror and to be distressed. All you would have left is to stand before the judgment seat of the Lord, and all you could say is, my very sorrowful is my soul, even to the point of death. And do you want to go there? Is that where you want to go? Because it's easier to go there than you think. It is very easy to go there. Tonight we see in the lesson Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, but on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, after he instituted the Lord's Supper, as they're on their way, this is what he said to his disciples, puts everything together. He said, you will all fall away. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. And you know what happened next. Peter said to him, the fellow that our church is named after, Peter said to him, even though they all fall away, what? I will not. The rest of them, I don't know about them, but I will not. And Jesus said, truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same thing. All of them. And now you understand the words of the lesson. Jesus said, keep watch and pray in order that you should not come into temptation, for the spirit is willing, or the word means eager or ready to go. The spirit is ready to go, but the flesh is weak. In other words, you're weaker than you think. And if they fell away from the Lord, how much more you and me, all too ready to turn from faith in him. But if you turn away from the Lord and you turn away from faith in him, what are you doing? You're taking the cup out of Jesus' hand that he's about to drink, and you're saying, I'll take it myself. And I will take it back, and I will drink it myself. And how are you going to survive that? How will you survive the wrath of God? Well, who has the strength to stay the course? Who has the strength for things like this? Jesus' disciples certainly didn't. These fellows spent 3 years with him. They spent 3 years, they saw his wonders, they saw his miracles, they heard his teaching, and when push came to shove, they ran for the hills. Which is why the Lord says, watch. But not just watch, as if your own strength could stay the course. Because if you look up in the window, what are they doing? Off in the corner, they're sleeping. He says, watch and pray. And what do you pray for? Well, you pray for things you can't do. You pray for things that you can't solve. You pray for things you can't fix. You pray for things that you can't understand. You say, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Guard us and keep us so that the devil and the world and my sinful nature doesn't deceive me and mislead me into false belief and despair and other great shame and vice. And I will be attacked by these things, but I pray that I may finally overcome them and win the victory. Now, there's a lot of prayers in the Bible, a lot of specific prayers for specific topics, but not many of them are included in the Lord's Prayer, but this one is, lead us not into temptation, and it tells you that it's important. It's important because it means your survival. It means reaching life eternal. It means winning the victory. And the truth of the matter is, either Jesus drinks the cup or you drink the cup. Either he drinks it or you drink it. And since he already drank it on the cross, why not simply believe and stay with the Lord? Why not simply believe? Why not simply, as you come to communion, drink of this cup and believe that it is given and shed for the forgiveness of your sins? Why not simply and steadfastly, by the Lord's help, pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.